to be able to brag about our Savior.
Yes.
And Tyler and Anna are going to sing a duet tonight for us, entitled In Christ Alone.
Let's take our Bibles tonight, open to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 as we continue. We've just started going through Hebrews, so you'll know for the next several months probably. When you come on Sunday nights, just make sure you bring Hebrews with you, all right? Hebrews chapter 1. The book of Hebrews was actually written to Jewish people during a time of persecution. And some of these professing Hebrew Christians, they were in danger of reverting back to Judaism. And the writer is exhorting them to stand fast, okay? Why? Well, the New Covenant, the New Testament, which is what Hebrews is a part of, is greater than the Old Testament. Last time we saw the introduction to Hebrews, Jesus Christ is greater than all. Verses 2 and 3 that we looked at tells us that Jesus is the heir of all things, the creator of all things. He is the glory of God, the very image of God and the Savior of the world. Now we begin to see point by point as we go through chapter 1 that Jesus Christ is greater than all. More than just a statement at the beginning, but now we begin to see just what all He's greater than. And here we see in this passage tonight that Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. Angels, folks, those are a fascinating subject, aren't they? A lot of interest in angels. And tons of books have been written about angels and articles about angels and testimonies from people about angels and movies about angels and television series. Who hasn't watched Touched by an Angel, right? And what about Clarence, the angel in It's a Wonderful Life? I mean, angels are everywhere, it seems like. But how much do people really know about angels versus what they think they know about angels? A lot of misinformation out there about them. And here in this passage, we're going to see that Christ is greater than angels. I absolutely believe that we can come in contact with angels. I absolutely believe that. Why? Because the Bible says that we can actually meet angels disguised as humans, okay? Disguised. So if someone appears to you, okay, with wings and a halo or whatever they're wearing, okay, probably not an angel. You may want to call 911, okay? I'm just saying. But God says that we could entertain angels unawares. So what does that mean? You are unaware of the fact that you are connecting or having contact with an angel. You won't know it. Think about that. The next time someone says, well, I had a conversation with an angel. This was an angel sent by God. Here in Genesis 18, Abraham showed kindness to three, the Bible calls, angelic visitors. One was actually the Lord Himself, and Christophany. Initially, though, Abraham didn't know that they were angels, okay? But what about everything that is being written about angels? And all of the pendants and jewelry and signs and decorations and figurines that are out there. Folks, your Bible is the only book ever written that gives you the only absolute truth about angels. That's it. If it's not in the Bible, it's not true, it's made up. 273 references in God's Word to angels. There's a lot to be learned about angels found in the Bible. Let me give you a crash course on angels, okay? All 273 verses in 15 minutes. Are you ready? I'm not. So let's just do a summarized crash course. You know, many people believe that when you die, you become an angel. Have you ever heard that belief before? And you just kind of float on a cloud, strumming a harp or whatever. Not true, all right? What are angels? The word angel means messenger. That's what it means. That's what they are. Angels are spirit beings. But they have some kind of form to them. They're capable of appearing in human form. We see that in God's Word. Matthew 28 describes an angel who appeared at the resurrection. Remember, he was sitting on the stone that had been rolled away. And the Bible describes him this way. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. He was in some human form, and yet there was some supernatural appearance or form to him as well. Man is a wonderful creation, folks. Higher than the plants, higher than the animals, higher than the trees. Sorry for the environmentalists that think we're all equal. We're not, okay? But there are created beings even higher than man. Those are angels. Hebrews 2, verse 9. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But it says that angels are higher than humans because it says that when Jesus became a man, that he was made a little lower than the angels. As human beings, folks, we have limitations that angels do not have. According to Daniel 9:21, angels have incredible speed. You may remember when we covered Daniel 9 months ago. So when were angels created? All right. All the angels were created simultaneously. Colossians chapter 1. A lot of scripture. We're not going to be able to look at all of it. So if you're taking notes, you can write these down. All of the angels were created simultaneously. They were unable to reproduce. Matthew 22 tells us that. And angels watched God create the world. Job 38. We learned that from there. How many angels are there? Anyone want to guess? Trillions. How about that? How about that? The number of angels has not changed since they were originally created. Although one third of them fell with Lucifer, they will never die. Jesus said hell was originally created for Satan and his angels. Matthew 25:41. There is one devil and many demons. We just don't know how many. Now, the number of angels, as I said, it doesn't increase, it doesn't decrease. Trillions of them exist. Daniel said this, 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. In Revelation 5, we have this, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, that's a lot of angels, okay? I will need to punch a calculator to figure that out. There are exactly enough angels, though, to get the work done that God has intended for them. Their death rate, zero. Birth rate, zero. Lifespan, forever, folks. So what do they do forever? What are these angels doing forever and ever? Angels worship and serve God. That's what they were created for. That's what they do. By the way, we were created to do the same thing, weren't we? Do you realize everything that God has created, we're the only creation that doesn't do what we were created to do, bring glory to God. Everything else does. Angels, they came, they ministered to Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. After his temptation in the Garden of Eden, or the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels came and ministered. Here's what we find angels doing in the Bible. First of all, they're worshipers of God. Isaiah 6, Revelation 5 talks about that. Worshipers of God. They're also messengers of God. They deliver God's message to men and women. We see that in the Old Testament, certainly, and some areas in the New Testament, in the first parts of the New Testament. Do you realize it stopped, though? We don't have angels delivering messages anymore. And if someone tells you an angel did, run. They're not right, okay? Because God's Word is the completed message from God. Prior to God's Word, he used angels, he used dreams, he used prophets, he used prophetesses, okay? He used parables, he used all different manners to communicate his message. But now we have God's Word, it's done, it's completed. That which is perfect has come. The Bible is complete. John Patton from Scotland, he was a missionary, third missionary to the island of Tanna in the New Hebrides. He was from Great Britain, 1800s. The first two missionaries to that island had been killed and eaten by the cannibals, okay? And within minutes of arriving on shore, those first two missionaries, their missionary tour had ended. Mr. and Mrs. Patton, they paddled a dinghy to the beach and were all alone. Later, he told a story about the night when hostile natives were surrounding his hut, intent on burning them out and killing them as well. He and his wife, they prayed all during that night that God would deliver him. When daylight came, they were amazed to see that their attackers had left. And they thanked God for their safety. Finally, one of the natives was cast out of the group, and he found his way to the missionary, and he taught the missionary the language and the culture, if you will. The missionary led him to Christ. A year later, the chief of that tribe was led to Christ as well. And Mr. Patton, remembering what had happened their first night there, he asked the chief what kept him and his men from burning down their hut and killing them. And here's what he said. He said, "Well, who were all those men you had with you?" And the missionary said, "There were no men. There was just my wife and I. We were alone in that hut." And the chief argued with him. He said, "I had seen many men standing guard, hundreds of big men in shiny garments with drawn swords in their hands. They circled the missionary's hut so that the natives were afraid to attack." Is that possible? Absolutely, folks. Absolutely. And only then did this missionary realize that God answered his prayers that night. Didn't even know they were being answered at the time by sending his angels to protect them. Yes, I do believe in angels, folks. They're also instruments of judgment. In 2 Kings chapter 19, 185 Assyrian soldiers killed by one angel. Just one. And their ministers to the saved as well. I'll clarify that, to the saved. They minister to the saved by watching over the church, watching over the pastor of a church, the Bible tells us. They assist God in answering prayers, like this missionary we just looked at, delivering the saints from danger, protecting children as well. They announce judgment to the unsaved, and they carry out that judgment on the unsaved. Jesus said that the angels rejoice when one sinner is saved. Everything they do is all about serving God. Now, what kinds of angels are there? There's various ranks of angels that we find in the Bible. There are thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, rulers, all these different divisions. How exactly are they different? You know, the Bible doesn't go into a lot of detail on that, so neither should we, because we would be making it up. Some of the special classes, though, of angels are the cherubim, the seraphim, those described as living creatures. Some have names, like Lucifer, the name of Satan before he fell, Michael, the archangel, and in Jude 9, he's the head of the armies of heaven. And then there's the angel Gabriel as well. So at least some of them do have names. Let me share with you what the Jews believed about angels, because this is important to seeing how why the writer of Hebrews wrote what he wrote. The Jews had this highly exalted view of angels. Jews believed that angels were the mediators between men and God throughout the Old Testament time. In fact, they believed the angels brought God's word and worked God's will in the universe for God. They believed that angels were the mediators of their covenant with God, that Old Testament Hebrew or Jewish covenant that God had with them. The angels were the mediators of that. Some Jews exalted angels to such a degree that they actually began to worship them. This developed into a heresy that we see in the New Testament that was known as Gnosticism, which reduced Christ to that of an angel. The Colossian church had been flirting with Gnosticism when Paul wrote this in Colossians 2, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." In other words, Paul is saying, don't go there. They're not to be worshipped. Therefore, Christ is better than the angels, as the author is pointing out here in Hebrews. Let's go ahead and look at, begin reading there in verse number 4. Jesus is the greatest because of his relationship to the Father, folks. That's what gets pointed out first. Here's what the writer says. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now, this was so important for the Jews to hear this because, again, they had elevated angels to such a high degree. And by the way, who was it that put Christ on the cross? The Jews. So Christ wasn't much to them. And the purpose of this was to not just bring Christ up, but to put him in his place where he belongs above angels, which the Jews already idolized, you might say. And here in these two verses, it tells us that he is the Son of God. A lot of cults, a lot of religions deny the deity of Christ, which is established for us there in verse 4, where he is referred to as God's Son. Look at what he says, being made so much better than the angels. As he hath, referring to Christ, by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, or than the angels. And I like verse 5. It says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time? It's asking a question. Okay, folks, which of the angels has God ever said to them this? Angel, you are my son. I have begotten you, and I am your father. Can you name one angel God ever said that to? That's what the writer is asking. It's kind of a rhetorical question. None of them, of course. But he did say that about Christ. He did say that to Christ. And as a result of Christ's faithful obedience when he was on this earth, he was raised, okay, because he was as a man, he was made a little lower than the angels, and because of his obedience, he accomplished as God's son, he was exalted above the angels, which is where he had been before he came to earth. For a while, he was a little lower than the angels. Fully accomplishing God's work while he was here. He then became better than the angels. Folks, Jesus is better than angels because he has a better name. Like the writer asked there, what angel did God ever say, Thou art my son, I have begotten you? Which angel did God ever say, I am your father? Christ was given a name, as it says in Philippians 2:9, that is above every name. God's Son. The writer here quotes Old Testament passages to show that Jesus has a better name than the angels. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5 is actually a quote from Psalm 2:7. Unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And then again in verse 5 he says, I will be to him a father. And that comes from 2 Samuel, where David had been given a prophecy that he would have a great son that would come from his line. Folks, as Christians, we are collectively called sons of God, aren't we? Or children of God. The angels are likewise in the sense that God created them just like he created us. But no one angel is ever called the Son of God. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7 has two fulfillments there as far as Christ being God's Son. At his incarnation, when he was born, there at Bethlehem, at his birth, and then also it was fulfilled at his resurrection at the garden tomb. Jesus is a son in resurrection, and he was a son at the birth of him in the on this earth. Now, Jesus is the greatest because of his relationship to angels as well. Verse 6, it says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship who? Him, right. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Okay, now let me read that verse again before we move on. It's God speaking, okay? But unto the Son he, God, saith to Jesus, Jesus, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. Let's look at verse 9. I'll come back to verse 8. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath appointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fall, or not shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of the salvation? Here's the main point, folks. Let me give you several main points for this. The angels worship him. Even though Christ humbled himself and was made lower than angels for a time, angels are still to worship him, even when he was lower than them. If angels are to worship him, then he must be greater than they are. His covenant is greater than the New Testament covenant, is greater than the one they brought in the Old Testament. Christianity, do you know what that means, by the way? Remember, this is being written to Jews, trying to get them to bridge from the Old Testament to this new covenant. But do you understand what that means? Christianity is greater than Judaism. Theirs is an Old Testament covenant. Christianity is based on what Christ did in the New Testament. Hebrews 1:6, it's actually a quote from Psalm 97. The psalmist was saying all angels were to worship the Lord Christ. The Jews should not have been surprised at that because it came right out of their own scripture. Remember, the writer is writing to Jews, and he's quoting their Old Testament to show them that Jesus is greater. Jews knew it as an absolute sin and violation of all of God's laws to worship anyone but God. And if God is saying that all the angels worship his Son, then the Son must be God. Satan wants to deceive people, folks, by having them believe in a Jesus who is not God in human flesh. Don't ever fall for his lies. The angels worship him, but the angels are also his possession. We see that in verse 7. They belong to him. Jesus made the angels, so we know that they are created beings. But angels are also subject to his rule. Verse 8, let's read that again. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. The difference between angels and the Son is that the Son is the eternal God. People who say Jesus was just a man, just an angel, a prophet, some inferior God, they are lying to you, bringing upon themselves, by the way, the curse of God for saying that about God. This is the clearest verse in the Bible that says Jesus is God. What's the reference, someone? Hebrews 1? 8. Remember that. Hebrews 1, 8. For when you're talking with folks and they have questions and they're questioning the deity of Jesus, Hebrews 1, 8, God himself says Jesus is God. The difference between angels and his Son, as I said, is the Son is the eternal God. Now let's look at another thing about angels. They are inferior to Christ. pointed out here in verses 9 through 12. Look at verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Speaking of Christ. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, folks, Jesus loved righteousness, correct? Would you agree with that? Jesus loved what is right. He loved it. He loved what was right. That means he hates what was wrong. We would say that about Jesus too. I mean, to assume that Jesus loved something that was not right, that just wouldn't make sense to us, would it? And several years ago, there was a movie that came out about Christ that alleged that he had an affair with Mary Magdalene. Now that would be Jesus loving what was wrong. There's a group of churches today that suggest that Christ and his disciples were actually all homosexuals. Now, that would mean Jesus is loving something that is wrong. No, Jesus loved that which was right. He hated what was wrong. The two are inseparable. You can't hate what is right and love what is wrong. You have to love what is right. Boy, I just messed that up, didn't I? Okay. You have to love what is right and hate what is wrong. They go together. You cannot love things on both sides of the fence here. You can't honestly say, I love righteousness. That's the Sunday school answer to say, though, isn't it? That's what all good Christians say. But you can't say that, but also like sin. Some sins. But most of us act that way. When there is love for God, there will be love for true holiness and a total hatred of sin. Jesus hated sin. So should we. Not love it. Of course, that wouldn't be right for a Christian to say you love sin. Okay, not like it. Not tolerate it even. Certainly not be entertained by it on that screen that we like to watch. Should we find that entertaining if we love righteousness? The angels are inferior to his person, but the angels are also created to serve him. Verses 13 through 14, it goes on to talk about that. Folks, under Christ's feet are placed all of the kingdoms, all authorities, and powers of the world, and that includes angels. Everything is in subjection under him. When he comes in glory at his second coming, he will be on the throne of the earth. Angels are his ministering spirits, as it says there in those verses. The saints of God, verse 14. They are not servants in the capacity of slaves, not like we would think of it that way. Rather, they are dignitaries who have an official function to carry out before God. If angels worship Jesus, don't you think we should as well? And how do they worship Jesus? They glorify him in everything that they say, do, and think. They do his will. What God wants, they do it. They don't say, well, I'll pray about that, God. Let me get back to you. I'll have to think about that. God says, angels, I want you to deliver this message over here to these people. Well, You know, God, you created me this way, and it's not really my personality. So I'll just pray for someone else to do it. Angels, I need you to go do this. Well, I'm kind of busy right now. My schedule's really hectic. Yeah, I just can't fit it in. I'll try. I'll do my best. If angels served God, shouldn't we? If angels worshiped him, shouldn't we worship him as well through our obedience and through our living a life that is Christ-like? If their highest praise is the glory of God, so should our highest praise be for him as well. If Jesus hated sin, so should we, folks. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We do thank you for this teaching on angels. Lord, help us to accept only what we find in your word and reject all else. But God, I pray that you would help us even more to worship you, to serve you, just like your angels do, just like all other created things do. They do what you created them to do. God, maybe tonight we could just start with hating sin as you hate sin, that we might genuinely love righteousness to the point that we don't want sin in our lives, and that we would confess, forsake, remove it, and make you Lord in our heart. In Jesus' name.